Let me turn to Genesis 18. I'm going to preach a Father's Day message today. Kind of expected. Every year I give a Mother's Day message, and I'm terrible at it. Okay, I guess it's just a gesture, you know. But I give my best college try every year for a Mother's Day message, and then Father's Day, it's like I just say Happy Father's Day, you know, at the beginning of the message, and then preach what I normally would preach. This morning, I'm going to change that. So I'm going to do a message this morning and this evening for dads. We're going to talk about Father's Day and being a Christian dad today. You know, like a lot of people in my generation, I grew up in a broken home. My parents got divorced when I was 3. For most of my formative years, I lived hundreds of miles away from my dad, so I only saw him a couple weeks a year. That wasn't his fault, but Father's Day was kind of bittersweet for me because dad didn't live with us. And when I became a dad, I don't know how to say this, I wasn't ready for it. I don't think anybody can be ready for that, right? You know, but I had no idea how I was going to handle that. It blew me away. And I can say this, there is nothing in my life that even comes close to the joy that I get from being a husband and a dad. And being a husband and a dad is my first priority. I love the church. God's called me to be a pastor. But the church is not even a close second my family. Family is first priority, and I think everybody should feel that way. I remember when Audrey was born, my oldest, I couldn't believe it. I mean, we had 9 months to get ready for this, but it still blew me away, you know? And I'm a shy guy. I am not a talk-to-strangers kind of person. I have to make myself do it. But that day, I remember I had to leave the hospital for some reason. I was literally stopping people on the street that I had never seen before to show them pictures of my baby girl. They must have thought that I was crazy, maybe called the cop. I was so excited. And I felt that way with all of my kids, and I still feel that way. Audrey turned 10 last week, which means I've been a dad for 10 years. And they have been the best 10 years of my life by far. And I'm just so excited to see what God does in their lives as they get older. Genesis 18, y'all there? Genesis 18. Here, I'm going to give this to my wife so she can do this and not have to. Thank you. It's a pretty neat chapter here, Genesis 18. Just to give you an overview for context, God sends 3 angels to talk to Abraham and Sarah. And God uses these 3 angels to tell them that Ishmael would not be the promised child, but that Sarah, who at this point is very old, well beyond childbearing age, was going to have a miracle baby. And then Sarah laughed at it. That's all that stuff that happens in this chapter. But the part I want to draw your attention to is actually verses 16 to 21, which happens after this. The angels are still there. And they're having a little conversation with God. It's a weird passage of scripture because it's a conversation between these angels and God. And I think what God says here is extremely interesting. Look at verses 16 to 21 with me. It says, "And the men rose up from thence and looked toward Sodom. And Abram went with them to bring them on the way. And the Lord said, Shall I hide from Abraham that thing which I do? Seeing that Abraham shall surely become a great and mighty nation, and all the nations of the earth shall be blessed in him. For I know him, that he will command his children and his household after him, and they shall keep the way of the Lord to do justice and judgment, that the Lord may bring upon Abraham that which he hath spoken of him. And the Lord said, Because of the cry of Sodom and Gomorrah is great, and because their sin is very grievous, I will go down," and you can keep reading there. The verse that was interesting to me is verse 19. God's having a conversation with these angels. They're talking about whether or not they should let Abraham know what God was planning to do to Sodom. And the interesting thing here, the thing I'm basing this message on, is what God says in verse 19. You know, look at what God says here. He says, "For I know him," talking about Abraham, "that he will command his children and his household after him, and they shall keep the way of the Lord to do justice and judgment." That is an amazing verse. Think about this. God is looking down from heaven at Abraham, and he's trying to decide if he should let Abraham know something, and he's giving this summation of Abraham's character. And the thing he says about Abraham is not Abraham has amazing faith, and it's not Abraham will do anything I ask him to do, although both of those things were true about Abraham. The thing that God makes note of in Abraham's life was this: Abraham is going to raise his kids for God. That was the thing that God had to say about him. I know this Abraham guy, I know about him, and he is going to raise his children to serve the Lord. Look, I want to be great in God's eyes. Okay, I really do. And I think most men do. All right? Here's the truth. God does not care about what is in your bank account. You understand? God doesn't care about what is in your bank account. He's not interested in how many Facebook friends you have. Help us. Okay? He doesn't care how well you know how to fix things around the house. He doesn't care about your fastball speed or your golf handicap. God does not care about any of that stuff, but if you want to be great in God's eyes as a man, one of the surest ways to do it is to raise your kids for God. To raise your kids for God. And I want to talk this morning about that. I want to talk about what it means to be a godly father and to raise your children to be great in God's eyes. All right, let's pray. Heavenly Father, I pray that you'll help me this morning as I preach, as we talk about dads. Lord, it's a different kind of message for me. It's a topical message, but I think it's an important one. And I pray that you'll help us, Lord, to examine our hearts, especially those of us that are dads, especially those of us that still have children at home. I pray that, Lord, that you'll help us to examine our hearts and let this message convict us and encourage us and challenge us to be the kind of dads that you lay out in Scripture. Father, thank you for the privilege, the amazing privilege you've given me to be a dad. And I pray, Lord, that I will, with your help, live up to the responsibility that comes with that. I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, dads in our culture get a bad rap. And it used to be on TV, okay, that dads were respected, you know? Dads were respected. Remember Andy Griffith? You guys, I hope you watched that show. That is like canon, right? That's a great show. Or Ward Cleaver from Leave It to Beaver. Or even when I was a kid, the most popular show on television was The Cosby Show, Cliff Huxtable. And you know what each of those shows had in common, and many of the popular shows from those eras, was that they showed that home was a good thing. And that home was a place where you went to get your problems figured out. And in most of those cases, the person that was the sage in that child's life, the person that the child went to help him figure things out, was his dad. All right? And then you go to the 90s and the 2000s and through today, and you don't ever see that on TV anymore. Okay, the archetype for dads now is Homer Simpson, you know? Not Andy Griffith. You know, the dads that are portrayed on TV today are lazy, and they're fat, and their wives know better than they do all the time, and no one looks up to them. And listen, I believe what we need in our country and what we need in our culture, there's lots of things that we need, but one of the things that we certainly need is we need for dads to stand up and be the people that God has called them to be, okay? We need dads to stand up and be the leaders of their homes in the godly sense. And listen, men, don't get too excited. That doesn't mean we pound our chests like cavemen. You know, me dad, me in charge. You wife, go cook clean. You know, that's not what that means, okay? God gives us this awesome privilege as fathers to be the leaders of our home, but with that privilege becomes a huge responsibility. And I want to talk about that responsibility today, okay? I'm going to give you a bunch of points today. I'm going to give you half of them this morning, half of them tonight, because I'm Baptist, they all start with T. Okay, all start with the same letter to help us follow along. I had a handout and a bulletin and all kinds of stuff, and their printer quit working at the wrong time. So I'm sorry about that today. And I'm having to preach from my iPad, which I hate doing. So just pray for me that this goes well, okay? One more thing before I get into this. I want to say this to the people here. I'm preaching to dads this morning, okay? But everything that I'm saying, just about everything I'm saying, could apply to moms as well, godly moms. And if you are a mother, a single mom, or a mother who maybe your husband is not a Christian, don't check out this morning. Please listen to this. This is important, okay? If you're unmarried, you've not been married yet, listen to this and think, this is the kind of dad I want to be, or this, I'm going to try to marry a man that has these qualities, that wants this for his life, okay? And if you've already raised your kids, then maybe this is something you could help your kids when they're raising their kids with, okay? So listen, everybody, listen up to these things, and I'm going to give you, I think, 8 different responsibilities of dads today, but I'm going to give 4 this morning and 4 tonight. So the first one I want to talk about is this. We need, number one, our first responsibilities, we need to take care of our kids. Take care of our kids. It's pretty obvious, right? 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse 8, the Bible says, "But if any provide not for his own, especially for those of his own house, he hath denied the faith and is worse than an infidel." So we as believers have a responsibility to earn and to provide for our families, for our own. You know what that means? That we should be hard workers. It means that we should get up and go to work every day. That's God's intention, okay? We cannot be a bunch of lazy, unmotivated, unambitious slugs, okay? We have to work hard for our families, work hard for our kids. Read the book of Proverbs sometimes and look at all the things it says about the slothful man and all the bad things that happen to the slothful man, all right? Now, look, I want to say this. Taking care of our kids does not mean the same thing as keeping up with the Joneses. It doesn't mean that if you don't have a brand spanking new car in the driveway or go on some lavish vacation every year, that you're a failure as a dad. Okay? We all have to learn contentment, but we should be working to provide for our families. So that's the first thing. Now, here's something I want to say. Unfortunately, with many dads, this is where they stop, okay? They stop with their responsibility, their God-given responsibility to take care of their family. They say, I'm giving little Johnny room and board, I'm feeding him, I'm making a paycheck, I'm putting a roof over his head, so I'm good. I've done my dad thing, all right? Check. Listen, God expects so much more from us as fathers than just providing for our family. So let's look at some of these other things. The second responsibility of godly fathers is that we need to teach our kids. Teach our kids. I want everyone to turn to Deuteronomy chapter 6. Deuteronomy, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Deuteronomy chapter 6. This particular passage of scripture was extremely important to Jewish people. They called it the Shema. They actually put these verses that we're going to read in a little box next to their doorstep. And they put these verses that we're going to read in a little box that they tied around their head when they were praying. Okay? These verses were like their Declaration of Independence, their Magna Carta. These were extremely important verses to these Jewish people. Look at Deuteronomy chapter 6. Look at verses 4 to 7. The Bible says, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy might." Notice these next words. "And these words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart, and thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, and shalt talk of them when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up. And thou shalt bind them for a sign upon thine hand, and they shall be as frontlets between thine eyes, and thou shalt write them upon the post of thy house and on thy gates." Notice, it says that we're supposed to love God with all our heart and all our soul and all our might, okay? We're supposed to be people that love God, but it doesn't stop there. It says we need to teach our children diligently to do the same. God expects fathers. Listen, if you don't hear anything else this morning, hear this. God expects fathers to teach their children to be godly. God expects fathers to teach their children to be godly. Listen, that is not the youth pastor's job. That is not the job of a Christian school. Either way, I'm not against youth pastors or Christian school. Okay? But we can't pawn that job off. That is a job that is given to us as fathers. God expects us to train our children to be godly. And I'm not going to embarrass you this morning, but if I was to ask all the men that stood up and got the beer bottle opener, Matt, thank you for that, all right, got that little tool. If I was going to ask you all to stand up and just quote for me the Ten Commandments, how many of you could do it? Don't raise your hand. Okay? What if I asked you to quote, you know, 5 or 6 different Bible verses? Could you do it? Could you explain different doctrines of the faith? Listen, I'm not saying that you have to be doctors of divinity here, okay? But I am saying that your kids need you to teach them what it means to be godly, and it's almost criminal how little we know as dads and how little we teach. Look, there's so many things to teach your kids. I'm so grateful that my dad, in the time that I did spend with him, he's not a Christian, but he taught me some great life lessons. He taught me to love to work. My dad is a workaholic, and he loves to work, and he taught me that working can be fun. And he taught me to be creative and to make things. And he, when I was a little boy, he moonlighted making logos on the computer. You wonder where that came from, okay? My dad taught me that and taught me to build things in the shop. And I'm super grateful for that. It's a very rewarding part of my life, and I'm grateful to my dad for teaching me that. But listen, if my kids never learn how to swing a hammer, all right, my boy never learns how to swing a hammer, but he does learn how to be godly, he's going to be okay. Okay? He's going to be so far ahead. We have to teach our children to be godly. We have to teach our kids. We have to take care of our kids. We have to teach our kids. Let's look at those verses again here in Deuteronomy chapter 6. Look at verse 7. Notice it says, "Thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, and shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thine house, when thou walkest by the way, when thou liest down, and when thou risest up." The third thing, third responsibility we have as Christian parents is we need to give time to our kids. Time. Notice in that verse over and over again, the where and the when of the teaching. The where is everywhere, and the when is all the time. That doesn't happen if your kids are not around, okay? We need to give time to our kids. A wise man once said that children spell love, T-I-M-E. And if you want to raise your kids for God, you have to spend a lot of time with them, all right? A man and I homeschool, and I would not ever say that everybody should homeschool their kids, okay? It's not for everybody. In fact, some people should not homeschool their kids. But we homeschool, and we know it's not for everybody, but we love it. And one of the things that we hear so often from people when we talk to them about homeschooling our children, all right, one of the things we hear so often, like I've heard this dozens of times, they say, "I could never do that." And then they say, "I couldn't spend that much time with my kids." And I understand where they're coming from, okay? Sometimes I feel that way, I'm gonna be honest. But what a sad testament, you know? You know, here's a thought. I actually like my kids, okay? And they're not perfect. Believe me, I thought Audrey and Molly were going to kill each other in our van yesterday in the CVS parking lot. Like, I really thought there was going to be a homicide investigation, all right? They're not perfect. Not by a long shot. If you think my kids are perfect, you just don't know them, all right? But I don't just love my kids. I like my kids. I think that's a good question, especially when your kids are teenagers. When did you stop liking your kids? You know? I want to spend time with my kids. Listen, dads, hobbies are cool. I like hobbies. But if you have kids at home, you should make sure your hobbies are things you can do with your family. I really think so. You will have plenty of time to play golf when your kids are grown up. You'll have plenty of time to work on cars when your kids are grown up. You only have this short window of time to have a mark, make a mark on your kids' life, to train them. I think you should get involved with your kids. I think you should, if your kids are in sports, volunteer to coach. If you don't know anything about sports, then be the water boy, you know, whatever. But just be around and do stuff with your kids. Take your kids on vacation. Even if all you can afford is just tent camping in Charleston or something, take your kids on vacation. Make memories together. A couple weeks ago, we did something in our house. We sat down at dinner at the beginning of summer with a sheet of lined paper and a pen, and we came up with 50 fun things to do this summer. And the rule was they could not be expensive. So none of these things are pricey things. They're things like have a game night, things like bake cookies, things like sleep in a tent in the backyard, ride our bikes to the ice cream cone, like little things. You better believe that those little things are going to make a big difference in kids' lives, okay? Just spend time with your kids. Listen, we dads, we need to take care of our kids, provide for our kids' temporal needs, but we need to teach them what it means to be godly, and that involves spending time with them. Spending time with them. Look, my kids will not have the greatest of everything. They're not going to. Okay, I could work a million hours to make sure that my kids have the nicest of everything, but I believe it's far more important that they have an involved dad that's in their life, and you have to make trade-offs, all right? I'll give you one more thing. We need to take care of our kids. We need to teach our kids. We need to spend time with our kids. Number four, we need to typify godliness for our kids. Typify godliness for our kids. Here's what I mean. Turn with me to Galatians chapter 4. Galatians chapter 4. I'm going to give you a thought here that I think is important for parenting. It's not unique to me, okay? If it was, it wouldn't be any good. Galatians chapter 4, verse 6. The Bible says this, talking to Christians. It says, because ye are sons, God hath sent forth the Spirit of his sons into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father. How many of you know that all of us that are believers are God's children? We're God's children. Okay? All of us. And that means that if we're fathers, we are also children of God. We have a father. And our children can see the way that we as God's children relate to him. Here's what that means. It means that we don't just tell them what it means to be a godly person. We show them in our own life. I've got this thing up here. We're doing a series in my Sunday school class over the next 12 weeks from a book called Passionate Parenting by a pastor friend of mine, Carrie Schmidt. It's a really good book. If you don't come to the class, you should just read the book, okay? But here's what he said. I thought this was pretty wise. He said, don't just... talking about teenagers here, don't just tell our kids to do right. Show them what we're doing. Show them what right looks like. Don't just demand a certain level of godliness. Display that level of godliness in your own life. Don't just try to push them. Lead them. You know there's a difference. Okay? Come to my Sunday school class. A little commercial. All right, it's going to be great in the next 12 weeks. Not because of me, but it's going to be good. All right, back to the message here. You know what the worst thing we can do for our kids is? Here's the worst thing I think we can do for our kids. It's telling them one thing and then doing another. Telling them one thing and then doing another. Patch the Pirate, that great theologian, had this to say. He said, your talk talks and your walk talks, but your walk talks louder than your talk talks. And if that's important anywhere, it's important at home. It's important with our kids. Look, if you say that God is important, But you don't make God an important part of your life if you can't even get yourself to church and make that a priority. What does that say to your children? What message do you think your kids are picking up? It's not rocket science. If you say the Bible is the word of God, the Bible is the truth, and your kids never see you read it or even open it outside of church, what message do you think your kids are going to pick up about the truth of the Bible? If you say you should surround yourself with godly influences, which, by the way, is the most important thing for teenagers, okay? Surround yourself with godly influences, and yet your kids see you fill your mind with garbage from TV and from the internet and from pop music and rock music, what message are they going to pick up? What you say or what you do? You can get by when they're Noah's age, when they're six, with the whole do as I say method. But kids get wise to that real fast. And they can see right through it. And by the time they're a teenager, if you're still doing the do what I say, not what I do thing to your kids, they're going to be bitter and angry, and they are not going to walk away from the faith. They are going to run away from the faith. All right? We need to model godliness for our children. Model godliness for our children. Let's look back at Genesis one more time. All right, I'm going to talk more about this tonight as we talk about four more things here that the Bible teaches we should do for our kids. But I want to say this, all right? Look at what God said one more time to Abraham, or about Abraham. He says, I know him, that he will command his children and his household after him. Okay? That they shall keep the way of the Lord and do justice and judgment. I cannot make any kind of promise that my children are going to turn out all right. All right? I'm not trying to make myself an example here. All right? Who knows? They are their own moral beings, and they might decide to walk away from the faith. It would break my heart, but they might decide to do that. Okay? But I can say this. I want more than just about anything. I want what God said about Abraham to be true in my life. Okay? I want my children to walk with the Lord and to grow up and walk with the Lord. How about you this morning? All right? Dads, is that a priority to you? You ever think about this? It's not just going to happen. Okay? You can't do this on autopilot. You have to be deliberate about it. Maybe you're in a situation where dad isn't there. Maybe you're a single mom. You got a tough, tough thing ahead of you if that's the case. All right? But I know with God's help, with the church's help, you can do it. Maybe you're married to somebody that's not a believer and they're not keeping up with this. God's going to pick up that slack. God's going to help you. All right? But dads, this morning, we gotta strive to model godliness for our family. And hope this is a good reminder of that. Let's all stand together for time of invitation, brother.